Well, good morning. It's always awesome to see people who haven't been around for a little while. It's nice to see Barb and David. And see Carolyn. Because, we don't get to see them folks every week. So it's good to see you folks. We are intentionally going to try to finish a little early today because JD's got to be on the road and we want to have time afterwards. There's a little cake down in the foyer area. And so we want to celebrate with JD and Brittany both, but JD's got to be on the road at 12:30. This is the instructions I've been given. Is this true? Okay. That's in her car, driving. Because she has to be up to Big Sandy Camp, otherwise they're going to dock her pay or something. Yeah. So, Big Sandy Camp, it's a tough place. They really... Really rough folk up there. We're going to continue on with our study of 1 Corinthians. We're moving into chapter 6. If you want to turn with me there to chapter 6, we're going to look at the first 11 verses. It says, if any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if they are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more will the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I say this to shame you. It is possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers. But instead, one brother goes to law against another, and this in front of unbelievers. This very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. Do you know that the wicked will not inherit this kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Let's pray. Father God, we just ask that you would open up these scriptures to us. Lord, I pray that your anointing would be upon me, that as I speak, your Holy Spirit would fill me up and pour out and speak your words in truth. Lord, if there's anything I'm planning to say that's not of you, Lord, the words just not come out. And if I do speak them, might the people not hear them. Instead, Lord, might they hear from you. Might you show them your will here. Might you bring to each one that special understanding that only you can do through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the living Word, to show them how to apply it to their lives today. Father, we pray that what goes on here in this church would bring honor and glory to your name, that it would lift up and point to you, the Savior and one true God, our Creator, our King. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, last week, we had some pretty tough stuff. This week, it hasn't channeled back much. Next couple of weeks, month or two even, this is what we're going to be hitting. Because the church was going through some tough stuff in Corinth. And Paul, he dealt really hard with the whole thing about divisiveness. Now he's dealing with specific sins, specific areas, specific troubles, and he's saying, this is a problem, deal with it. This is how you go about it. This is a problem, deal with it. This is the way to the methodology. Okay, we had some people who were celebrating the fact that somebody had their father's wife. Incest was going on, and the church was like being accepting of this, and we were told, this is wrong. Man, if he's confronted and won't change, won't leave this lifestyle of sin, this intentional, flagrant breaking of God's word, that they need to be expelled. Expel the immoral brother. Expel the one who is making sin his identity. Now here in this next passage, Paul is bringing out the fact that people aren't walking in their identity. They're still acting like they were before. They're going to court against one another. They're not dealing with it as Christians, going Christian brother to Christian brother, dealing with it in Christian love, dealing honestly, lovingly, truthfully with one another. They're trying to get advantage over each other. They're just acting like the world. And he says, you guys are going to be judges of the world. You're going to even judge angels. I say, well, how can that be? Okay, I'm going to jump upon my son's military activity and my own little brief encounter with the military in ROTC. Okay, as an ROTC midshipman, you know what my naval rank was? 0. It's like nothing. Okay, except I was in certain situations. It was possible for me to give an order because I was an officer of a sort. Even though any non-commissioned officer would usually grab me by the ear and explain to me the errors of my ways if I had been so presumptuous to do such a thing. You know, and there's nothing more powerful than the top soldier in any unit. The one who really wields the stick as far as the enlisted is concerned. He's the one who comes through and makes sure everything's going straight. But yet, that brandly new minute butter bar, he shows up, he can tell top soldier what to do. Granted, normally it doesn't work out so well if he tries. But what happens eventually is that brandly new minute butter bar moves up in rank. And there comes a time when, no matter how high the rank of the enlisted soldier, he will listen and is under the authority of that officer. And even the newly minted one, he is under his authority. Such is the situation with Christians. When we became saints, that is, we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In a theological continuum, hierarchy of authority, saint outranks angel. Saint outranks the angel. Saint outranks the world, those who aren't part of the world. and will have to sit in judgment and authority over eventually. And Paul's telling us, you know, you better get used to this idea. You better start practicing it just a little bit, at least amongst yourselves. Try judging each other. Try dealing with each other. Holding one another accountable. Doing a little conflict resolution. We have a problem. The least of you is qualified to be the judge over that problem. Who here is our least qualified Christian? Who is our... Who wants... Everybody's hands going up. Yeah, that's me! You know what? The least of you is better qualified to deal with a problem between Christians than a member of the Supreme Court that is not a Christian. That's what Paul's telling us here. And that's the reality. But the thing is, people are running around acting like they're still in the world. That they haven't been sanctified. They haven't been changed. They haven't been newly minted saint. Instead, they walk around going, oh, I'm a sinner. You know, I'm this or that sin. I'm of that sin. Now I'm going to pick on David and the AA whole thing. Some people get confused with that. And, you know, AA, you know, the whole thing is you say, you know, I'm an alcoholic. And so, and some people become, that's their identity. They allow that to be whom they are. But David's not an alcoholic. Say, yes, he is. David, say he is. I'm not saying anything out of school here. But he's not. That is not his primary identity. His primary identity is a son of God. A saint. That's who he is. I've had this argument discussion with Alice. Because one time I said, you know, we are all sinners. And theologically, I'm correct when I said that. But Alice wasn't going to receive that. She said, that's not who I am. She says, I'm not a sinner. I'm a child of God. She's not saying that she doesn't sin. What she's saying is, that's not my identity. Okay, David is not to forget that he has trouble drinking. But that's not to be his identity. My identity is not to be my sin. My identity is to be my salvation. That's what Paul's talking about here. Telling the church, let your identity be in your salvation, not in your sin. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. Were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. What is significant about were is it's a past tense word. It happened. It's done. Now I didn't take a peek here, but I'm going to guess in the Greek it's probably an aorist thing, which means it's past tense, but it's also continuous and ongoing. Because that's why it's normally translated. We put it past tense, but it... Because sanctification is a continuous process in us, because we need to be continually being cleaned and washed and being perfected more and more into the image of God, in the image of Christ. But also to be sanctified means to be set aside, set apart, and made holy for God. And that's past. That's already occurred. And that's what's being talked about here. Is don't get caught up in the identity of being a sinner in the world. Don't get caught up in living that life. But that's sanctified. Just live it is the way I titled this passage. You were sanctified. Live as if you're sanctified. What does that mean? Well, that means that the person who has a problem being drinking attempts not to drink and leans on God for his strength not to. That means the person that had sexual sins attempts not to go down that road anymore, attempts and leans on God for the strength to do it. That means the person who is greedy or an idolater or what other slanderer, what other sin was listed, said, my problematic sin, that thing that trips me up time and time again, I'm not going to let that be my identity. I'm going to have my identity as a saint, someone sanctified, because I was sanctified. And I'm going to practice, instead of living like the rest of the world, doing as they do, I'm going to try to live according to God's wishes. So if I've got a problem with a brother, instead of taking that brother to court, I need to go to him in love and say, hey, here's my problem. And if my Christian brother says, gives me some rude sign or says, well, whatever, that's your problem, it's not mine, then it's better that I'm wronged or cheated than that I try to come out ahead on top of them. Oh, Pastor. It's called turning the other cheek. Sometimes our problem isn't a personal. It has to do with something else where somebody else is being harmed. In that case, no, you don't turn the other cheek. There you have to intervene and protect. But if your harm is just me, well, you know what? I don't need it. All I need to do is seek reconciliation. If I can't get reconciliation, I'll seek healing and forgiveness from God. Paul was getting tough here. Next week he's going to get tough again. And each week it's tough. Because he's talking to us, the church, and how we live today. And the stuff that they're dealing with there is the same stuff we're dealing with today. Because is that stuff going on in the church today? Yeah. Now, I'm not aware of anybody here in this particular congregation having a lawsuit against somebody else within the congregation. But I have had times where I know that one member of the congregation has not been happy with another member of the congregation and has held a grudge for a period of time. It's happened. You know, let's not point fingers lest we realize we're pointing more back at ourselves than... Just telling you, we all have problems. None of us is perfect. But we need to seek to live as sanctified. Seek to live in the strength that the Lord has given us. Practice it. Because how do you expect to get better at it if you don't practice? Chris, how's that guitar playing going? I know your piano playing getting better because you've been working with the teacher. She's cracking whip, makes you practice, doesn't she?
You don't get better if you don't practice. You don't try.
I was in gymnastics. I was never a good gymnast. I was passable. I mean, the height of my powers as a gymnast on the floor, I could do a round off back handspring backflip, which is not exactly Olympic grade. But I could do it. My coach always said I was the only person he ever saw do it in slow motion, though. They were amazed that I could do it. But I got better at it because I practiced, and I practiced, and I was able to do as much as I could do because I practiced.
You want to be a better Christian? Practice. That's what Paul's telling us. Practice.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you have shown us that our identity isn't our sin. Our identity is you, our Savior. That we've been set aside, sanctified, to serve you. Lord, help us to keep you as our identity. May we live that identity and practice it each and every day. Because you are who we are. And if we are truly your children, we need to live as such. Lord, help us to live with each other according to your will. And when we stumble, Lord, pick us up, hold us tight, and set us back on the way. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close.